is beginning to rain, rain, rain. The voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Hello, friends. Great to be with you again here at Bible Home Church. You know, recently, Michelle, who works with Wanda and I here in the ministry, gave me the some material from Gail. Actually, came from Gail Ripplinger originally. She's the author of New Age Bible Versions, a very, very wonderful friend of Wanda and mine. And by the way, she's listening to this program. I wish her and her husband, Michael, their family, all the best. But she quoted Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 in the Bible, and I was thinking about it. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than the other creatures." The serpent, it says, was more subtle. A lot of people say, what does that mean, subtle? Some people think it means quiet, quieter. No, no, it doesn't. What it means is that the serpent was more sneaky. He was more crafty. He was more deceptive than the other creatures. He was wiser in the way of evil doing than others. The serpent was more subtle. Miss Ripplinger has talked about some of these new Bible versions. They appear to be of God. They say a lot of good things about God and His Son, Jesus. But did you know that Gail Ripplinger has pointed out that the new King James Version, not the King James, but the new, oh yes, there will always be, there's the modern King James Version, there's the 21st century King James Version, there's the new King James, and I suppose there will be a new King James and a new, and newer King James someday. Because money is to be made. Bibles are big business today. Well, I like the old King James, but that's another story. Listen to this. Did you know that the new King James omits the word God 51 times? Interesting. Omits, removes the word God 51 times as compared to God's holy word, the King James. Now, in occult numerology, 5 plus 1 equals 6. I thought I'd pass that along. And by the way, the New King James Version omits the word Lord 66 times. 66 times you'll read the word Lord, many times referring to the Lord Jesus or the Lord God, but the word Lord is stripped from the New King James. 66 times. And the word God 51 times, 5 plus 1 equals 6. I don't want to overstate the fact, but it appears like there are 3 sixes there, just in those two little mini facts that you might ponder about. Well, today we're going to be pondering about something quite fascinating. We're going to continue our series on how to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Of course, one of the ways to be a witness is to have the right Bible. But there are many other ways, though, that you can be a witness for Christ. A lot of people, again, I've mentioned this to you, but they say, oh, well, all you have to do is just tell people about Jesus. Well, I like to simplify. That is true. But there are many ways you can tell people. There are things you can do that may surprise you. And there may be things that you do that you think you're a good witness for Christ, but you are not. You might be actually helping the adversary and not even realizing it. But I do like that when it gets down to the crux of it is just tell people about Jesus. one woman, I asked her, a lady at church, I said, how do you think it would be best as a, for you to be a good witness for Christ? She says, well, I just like to tell people what Jesus has done for me. And, you know, I thought that woman was so wise, that Christian sister. Just tell people what Jesus has done for you. Man, that can change lives. And, you know, a lot of people have the same circumstances. I know everyone likes to think their life is unique and different, and to a certain extent it is different. Every person's life, like your fingerprint, like the iris, the lines in your eye, they're different than the next person's, your DNA. But in a way, we're all the same. We have the same circumstances. We're tempted in similar ways. The devil approaches us in similar ways. And you know, it's very helpful for a person in a similar situation to you gives you his or her witness. Well, my husband was sick and this happened to me. And then you as a witness say, well, you know, my husband was sick too of that same illness. And let me tell you what God did in our lives. Wow. I'm telling you, there are, you know, there are people out there who have had babies born with a terrible fatal disease. You say, God must have been punishing them. Oh, well, you ask the people, do you think God was punishing you when you had that baby that died at like 2 years of age with that horrible disease from birth? Was God punishing you? And they turn and they look at you and with tears in their eyes, they say, are you crazy? Why, God gave us a gift. That baby was a gift. We learned so much in that 2 years. That's the greatest time. And now that baby is with Jesus forever in heaven. And we who are still on earth, we learn so much how to love, how to be patient, and so many gifts that God gave us. Friends, many people have done nothing to deserve the bad situation in their life. Do not think for a moment that every person who is poor, who has a disease, whose loved ones may hate him or her because of her faith. Do not think for a moment, don't even consider that it's probably because of their sin. You could be way off the mark. Job was a man of God who never veered from the narrow way of salvation. He never veered from it. He suffered the most grievous, horrible things that none of us, I don't believe you have ever gone through what Job went through. Did he ever curse God? Never. Never. Did he say, God, why are you so cruel to do this to me? Never. But his friends came around to him and they said, Job, what great sin do you have in your life that these things have befallen you? And he said, get away from me. Basically said, you don't know what you're talking about. They said, well, Job, look at you. God has punished you for your sins, obviously, or you wouldn't have it so bad. Why don't you just curse God and die? Well, what kind of friends would say that? I think a lot of people say that to people suffering today. You're in such desperate, horrible circumstances. Why don't you just curse God and die? You know, they may as well say that to tell a person, what sin do you have in your life that God would give you a deformed baby? And a man that came to me and he cried. He said he lost his job and for 2 years he's been looking for another job. He said, Brother Tex, my wife and I, we have done everything. We prayed so many times. We just kept asking Jesus, Jesus, please reveal the hidden sin in our life. There must be some hidden sin in our life. I looked at him and I knew he was telling me the truth. There was no hidden sin in his life. Of course, he was not a perfect man, no more than I'm a perfect man. But he was a true servant of God, this man. I said, Jack, listen to me. Listen to me. I don't know everything that you may or may not have done, but I highly suspect it's not a matter of sin. But rain and sunshine are going to come in the lives of every person. And let me tell you something. A person who has no obstacles to overcome, no battles to fight, is a miserable man. You've got a huge battle, and it seems like you've got a mountain to move here. But have faith. In due time, God will move that mountain, and I believe in time he will even show you why you went through this. There could be some reason that you don't even know about. Maybe you're to be a witness to others in similar situations. He said, do you really believe that? I said, yes. I know of many people who went through hard, terrible times. And later they were a witness to people for that very reason. People have been thrown into jail and they were innocent. But they were true to God. When they came out, they were able to witness and testify. And maybe even in their prison cell, they were able to reach people for Jesus. Who knows but what Jesus didn't cause them. Yes, cause them. Yes, yes, oh yes. Cause them to be unfairly convicted, sent to prison where they were a minister to him. You say, God wouldn't do that. Friends, you don't know what God would do. God doesn't think like you or me. And the best we can do is pray for the mind of Christ. Pray that we will think as much like Christ as is possible for a human being. But I want to tell you something, friends. God is with you in every bad thing that happens. He may be the only reason you're still surviving and alive. He may be your protector. He may have sent angels to you unawares. And like Job, everything was restored to Job. Everything eventually was restored to him. And I believe Job is in heaven today, and he knows exactly why all those bad things happened to him. And I believe Job says, praise God for every bad thing that happened to me. Is that possible? Can you be a witness to God by saying, thank you, Jesus, for the hard times I have in my life? I believe you can. But what if God sends you showers of blessings? Showers, what if he sends you material things that are wonderful? Thank him. Say, this is totally unexpected, Lord Jesus. Thank you. And tell other people about it. But if he takes away your material goods, what are you to say? Thank you, God. There must be some reason for this, and I'm going to go forward loving you and serving my fellow man. Be a witness for Christ. And in due time, we will all find out why these things happen to us. The grand plan is bigger than you and me, friends. How you fit into it, you may not realize. You say, well, God doesn't punish his servants. Oh, well, I realize that. But we're in the world, and the world hates us and will persecute us. And thus, just read Fox's Book of Martyrs. You're going to read about the Apostle Paul and all the great martyrs of Jesus and their great sufferings. But they're not suffering today. Only for a short time. Now, friends, we're going to get into this series in a minute. And, oh, I want you to continue to hear this series on how to be a witness for Christ. Right now, though, we have a beautiful song. This is by Boyd Cole. This is Wanda's late brother. He's with God. He knows why all the bad things happen in his life. And God made them come out for the good. He knows. He knows today. You'll want to talk to him about that when you get to heaven, friends. That's where he's at. Here's Boyd Cole. What is that song going to be? The Desert Airs is his gospel group. Well, you know, this is an old one, but it's a wonderful song. It's so simple, but yet so profound. Have thine own way, Lord. And then we'll have today's more complete message.
Father, I am the clay. or I'm filled with gloom, God sends his angels to sing in my room. I join the singing, I can't decline.
I know that Jesus is mine.
Oh,
thank you, Brother Boyd Cole. Tex Mars again here, folks. If the Holy Spirit leads you to support this ministry, this work that's going around the World Bible Home Church, and by the way, even if you're not sending a love gift to Bible Home Church, we'd like to hear from you. Are you enjoying these messages? Do you agree with us? Do you disagree with us? And I'd like to know personally if you're praying for us. You know, some people can't afford to spend a cent, but I know they can afford a few minutes each day, or maybe one day a week, to pray for us. And to me, that's money in the bank. that's treasures that we're receiving from you. Yes, it is. So that's better than money. Better than the biggest bank account of the Swiss bank is the prayers that the saints deposit in those accounts. And we appreciate those prayers. Love to hear from you. And now we continue with our message of how to be a witness for Jesus Christ.
Romans 8, verse 36 says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Friends, listen, the world is friendly, it loves you, you better forget about it. If you are a real witness for Christ, you will be hated. You say, well, I'm a good witness for Christ, and everybody loves me. Well, you better look at yourself in the mirror. Maybe you're not really a witness for Christ at all. Maybe you're a fake. Maybe you're a pretender. I don't have time to read it here today, but you may want to read Hebrews 11, verses 33 through 38. Paul talks about the heroes of the faith. Boy, what happened to them? Maybe I will read it. It's just too powerful. Verse 33, Hebrews chapter 11. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. I think there's going to be Christians just like this in the last days. Yes, the remnant will be just like this. Quenched the violence of fire. Now look at what some of the heroes of the faith have done through the ages. Quenched the violence of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. You say, I'll never be able to do those things. Those were heroic. That's good. I'm glad you're saying that. Because then you're going to say, Jesus, help me. And out of your weakness, he'll make strength. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to fight the armies of the aliens. That's no UFO aliens he's talking about. That's those who were alien to Jesus Christ. They were of the world. And you're not of the world. Because God's chosen you out of the world. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Their torturer said, we'll quit torturing you if you'll just renounce Christ. If you'll curse him. They said, no. Tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. They knew. Stay faithful to Christ. The resurrection will come. All they can do is kill you. Think about that. That's all they can do. The worst they can do is kill you. And then you're in a good shape, friends, forever. Listen to this. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Hey, they just took saws and sawed them apart. They were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy. Friends, the world was not worthy of these men. They were too good for the world. Through the blood of Christ, they were made heroes. The world is a pitiful place. If you want to love the world, they'll have at it. You think I'm going to fight for Jerusalem, the earthly Jerusalem? No. That's just a big pile of rocks and junk. But you know, even Austin, Texas ultimately is compared to heaven. I'm not trying to cut Jerusalem down or exalt Austin. I'm here to tell you that there's a better place. And the world, this world that you see, is not worthy of the saints. God has prepared a better place for you. Why would you want to stay in this world? Why waste your time on environmentalism? Okay, be a good steward. You know, don't dirty things up. But more than that, but above that, why waste your time? The world's going to be gone anyway. And you're going to be in a better place. And this world is not worthy of the saints, of the blood of the saints. It's not. The world will take the blood of the saints, but it's not worthy. Paul said it right here, of whom the world was not worthy. Revelation 13 says, the beast shall make war with the saints. You say, I can avoid this. If I just get people to know that Jesus is love, I can avoid all these battles. No. Because the beast is going to make war with you no matter what you do. You know, Jesus was called before the council, and then he was called before Pilate. And Pilate said, look, you're standing there mute and you're not saying a word. Don't you know that I can set you free? But Jesus told the council, he told Pilate, no matter what I say, you won't set me free. That's what he told the Jews. No matter what I say, you will not set me free. Friends, let me tell you something right now. The world will not set you free unless you renounce Christ Jesus. Right now, you are already in a very perilous situation. The world hates you. Jesus said it would hate you. He said you are not above your master. The world hated him. It will hate you. You are at war. Recognize it. Live with it. Fight it. The world is not worthy of you anyway. Are you so special that you're better than the world? No, Jesus is special. And you're of him. And you have a promise from him that he has another world for you called the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem. A third way is to be a good witness is to be steadfast and have courage. Steadfast and have courage. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I like that, don't you? The Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. 2 Timothy 2, verse 12 says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he will also deny us. Steadfastness. Courage. Be a good soldier. Fourth, give praise and thanks to God. Give praise and thanks to God. A lot of people say, that's witnessing? Yes. People notice that. When you give praise and thanks to God for the blessings in your life. 1 Chronicles 6 verse 8 simply says, give thanks unto the Lord. And Psalm 34 verses 1 through 3 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name. That's being a witness for Christ, to exalt the Lord. Give credit to the Lord. A lot of people pray and then their prayer actually comes to reality and they don't even thank God for it. It's like, and I think that's the example of the man that Christ healed and he went away and never even gave God credit. Never gave Jesus credit for what he had done in his life. Fourth, giving praise and thanks to God. Fifth, this is one that's going to get you in trouble. A fifth way to be a good witness for Christ, to be an effective witness, is to teach sinners the way of God. Oh, man. There are no sinners in the world. There's no such thing as sin. We all know that. And when Jerry Falwell said, well, maybe what happened at the World Trade Center occurred because America has become such a wicked nation. You know, abortion and homosexuality. Oh, what a terrible person you are to say such a thing. He said, well, judgment has come upon America. Oh, how terrible. We're not responsible. It was those 19 terrorists. And you blame us all for that. But all the Old Testament prophets, that's what they did, didn't they? I mean, they call their nation terrible names. Harlot. Adulteress. And don't you think that the people of Israel said, you terrible people, you judgmental people, how dare you call us that? Why, we're the people of God. Jesus came out and he began to preach to them. And what did they say? What a horrible, blaspheming person you are. You're of the devil. And as for us, why, we're Abraham's seed. We're such great people, we Jews, that no man has, no nation has ever ruled over us. We've always been a free nation. Right away, that proved they were a liar. Because they said, we have never been in bondage to any man. We're Abraham's seed. Of course they've been in bondage. They were in the bondage to the Pharaoh. They were in bondage in Babylon. They were just liars.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.